John chapter 10 for our text this morning, and I'll be reading verses 11 through 18. John 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. In John chapter 10, we have a combination of two metaphors. In verses 7 and 9, Christ twice emphatically declares, I am the door of the sheep. In verses 11 and 14, Christ twice emphatically declares that he is the good shepherd. Both are closely related. Both are self-revelations styled in deity, that is, they are claims to deity. Last time we completed the fourth I am saying, I am the door of the sheep. And so today we begin our study of the fifth I am saying, I am the good shepherd. Now the Jewish people understood the profession of shepherding and looking after sheep. It was an employment known to the people of Judea. So these two metaphors then were taken from everyday life in Palestine. Now in verse 1 of John 10, Christ says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now the sheepfold is a sheep pen. It was a rock wall that they stacked up rocks, or a fenced enclosure made in fields while the sheep were kept at night to protect them from robbers and wolves, etc. It was not uncommon for the village to have a sheepfold, which was common property for all the sheep herders. This sheepfold was enclosed typically by a protected rock wall. At nighttime, the shepherds would bring their flocks into the sheepfold and leave them under the care of a porter while they went home to lodge. The porter would keep guard through the night, ready to protect the sheep against the thieves or the robbers or against wild beasts that might scale the wall and attack and kill and scatter the sheep. In the morning, the shepherds would return, the shepherds being the owners of the sheep, and the porter would allow only the authorized shepherds to enter in through the door. And after entering the door, the shepherd would call his sheep. The sheep would respond to his voice, and he would lead them out to pasture. So the door then was the entryway into the sheepfold. It was the gate. An authorized shepherd entered through the door into the sheepfold. This was the only legitimate way to enter the sheepfold. And Christ says, He that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You see, only those authorized to enter can enter through this door. There is no other entrance. We read in verses 7 and 8, "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, that is, into the sheepfold. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them." So in this allegory, Jesus effectively refers to the Pharisees and the religious leaders as thieves and robbers. And they entered the sheepfold by climbing in another way. They were imposters. Now Christ is also the door for the sheep. In verses 9 and 10, Christ says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." See, to enter into this door is to be saved and to have eternal life. To enter into this door is to have all the blessings of salvation. And those that enter in are secure and protected, for the shepherd guards and protects his sheep. He guarantees eternal security to everyone who goes in by this door. And this door leads both in and out. It gives the shepherd access to the sheep, and the sheep access to the pasture on the outside. And indeed, the shepherd may be called the door. The shepherd himself guards the entrance and is the door. He stands at the gate as the sheep pass in and out of the sheepfold. He examines them one by one and makes sure not one is hurt. And he counts them to make sure not one is lost. The shepherd leads the sheep in, and he leads the sheep out into the pastures. He leads them through the gate. He shows them the way, and they follow his steps. Now, in verses 1 through 18, we have then these two mixed metaphors, the door and the good shepherd. The door plays a subservient role, a secondary role to the good shepherd. And Jesus Christ, as the good shepherd, is the great truth that is taught in John chapter 10. So in John 10, verse 11 and 14, Jesus asserts that he is the good shepherd. "I am the good shepherd." And as with all these "I am" sayings that we are studying, they are emphatic declarations with the emphasis on the subject "I," ego eimi, an emphatic construction. "I am the good shepherd." It is a self-revelation of deity, where Christ again asserts his absolute sovereignty over the salvation of men. The adjective "good" is emphasized in this statement. Here we find a restrictive attributive, where both the noun and the adjective each have a definite article. And what that means is that there's an emphasis placed. So it would be something like this. We could render it, "I am the shepherd, the good one." Now this noun for good, this adjective, kalos, means beautiful. That which was very attractive. And here it indicates excellence. That which is preeminently excellent. The most excellent and far surpassing shepherd in his nature and in his character. He is the only shepherd in this class. He is the good shepherd. Peter, in his first epistle, identifies Christ as the chief shepherd. And in the book of Hebrews, identifies Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. All other shepherds are but understudies. Jesus is the true shepherd. All other shepherds were but mere humans. The shepherds of Israel that Jesus was comparing himself to were the Pharisees in our text. These religious leaders are depicted in this chapter as strangers, thieves and robbers, and as hirelings. The proclamation, "I am the good shepherd," was an affirmation of Christ's deity, and it identified him with Jehovah of the Old Testament. There are numerous Old Testament passages that describe Jehovah as a shepherd. In fact, the Old Testament is full of doctrine about how the Lord Jehovah searches for his sheep, carries his sheep, and pastors his sheep. For instance, Psalm 23, which we've prayed with and which we've sung about. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall never be in need. He supplies me everything. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul." Or Psalm 80. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock." And concerning Israel in the wilderness, Psalm 78:52, it says, "He led forth his own people like sheep and guided them through the wilderness like a flock." But the very descriptive, the most descriptive text, I think, is found in Ezekiel 34 and verse 11. If you turn there, and we'll read 11 through 16. Ezekiel 34:11. "For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and lead them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will lead my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick." Psalm 100 says, "We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Isaiah 40 again says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." You see, this is this wonderful description of Jehovah as the shepherd who cares for his sheep, who loves his sheep, who finds and seeks out those that are scattered, who feeds them, who leads them into pasture. What a glorious depiction of our God, Jehovah. It's descriptive of our whole relationship to Jehovah. Now, it was prophesied in the Old Testament that God would raise up one true shepherd. And I want to consider this for a moment. Now, in the Old Testament, Israel is sometimes referred to as sheep that have no shepherd. For instance, 1 Kings 22:17. And he said, I saw all Israel scattered upon the hills, as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. And in the New Testament, when Christ saw the multitudes, we are told that he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And not only is Israel referred to at times as sheep without a shepherd, but the corrupt leaders of Israel and their misrule of the people were often condemned as false shepherds. Jeremiah 23:1-2 reads, woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And if you still have Ezekiel 34 open, or your finger in it, the opening verses give us a very vivid passage of these false shepherds. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves, that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have not been strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I liveth, saith the Lord God, surely, because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. The misrule of religious leaders, the wickedness of Israel's kings, and of all their religious leaders. This is the very context of John chapter 10 and Christ's discourse of the Good Shepherd. Jesus refers to the Pharisees and the religious leaders as thieves and robbers, hirelings and strangers. They didn't care for the sheep. And the act of the Pharisees that spawned this entire discourse of the shepherd and the door was what? It was when Christ healed the blind beggar. And they ended up casting out this blind beggar that was healed from out of the synagogue. And then the parents of the blind beggar, and they tried to get them to say that they tried to we'll stump him to get him to say that he wasn't really blind this way from birth or something of that nature. But they were afraid to tell the truth about Christ, we're told. For they would be cast out as well. So there's oppression upon the people of God. There's oppression upon the sheep. Nothing has changed much from what we read in Ezekiel 34. And then we're told that God would raise up one true shepherd, the Messiah. And this is from Ezekiel 34 as well. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David, that is from the lineage of David, the branch of David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And then again in Ezekiel 37:24, David, my servant, meaning the Messiah, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd, and they shall walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. God will raise up one true shepherd. In Matthew 2:5, after Herod gathered all the chief priests and the scribes and asked them where the Christ would be born because of the star that came over Bethlehem. And they answered by quoting Micah 5:2. In Bethlehem of Judah, for thus it is written of by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor or a ruler that shall shepherd my people Israel. You see, the religious leaders in Christ's day were very aware of the analogy of the Messiah as the shepherd. It was also prophesied that the Lord's true shepherd would be smitten, anticipating the cross and the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. In Zechariah 13:7, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. On the night of Christ's arrest, after he had eaten the Passover meal with his disciples, after they had sung a hymn, and went out into the Mount of Olives, there he said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. As it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered, because I am risen again. And I will go before you. But after I am risen again, I will go before you in Galilee. And then we find also in Matthew 25:31, Christ speaks of his return in glory, when he shall sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations shall be gathered before him. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep, his sheep from the goats. And he shall set his sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. This is a description of the judgment day and Christ's perfect knowledge of his sheep and who they are. For John speaks of Christ's knowledge of his sheep, saying, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, all of this that we've spoken about, all of this comes to mind when Christ said, I am the shepherd, the good one. Christ places himself as the capstone of Old Testament revelation. He is of the divine shepherd, Jehovah. It all culminates in his glorious person, Christ is the good shepherd. He is the only true shepherd. He is the great shepherd and bishop of our souls. Now, having said that, I want to make an application in closing. That is this, is that no creature is more prone to wander and lose his way than a sheep without a shepherd. In Isaiah 53:6, the prophet writes, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." The text begins with the pronoun we, all we, the whole, each and every one of us, all of us, all men without exception, all of us before conversion were destitute of God and destitute of salvation. It is pointed out that we have all gone astray. None are excluded. The whole human race would have perished if Jehovah's servant had not become the shepherd and taken upon himself to vicariously suffer for the sin of his sheep. The figure of wandering as lost sheep is used to denote alienation from God and all the miseries that go with it. Our natural state, the state that we are born in, is likened unto scattered sheep running off in their own direction. It's compared to stupid sheep that are lost, wandering, and having no shepherd. Everyone has turned to his own way. Isaiah moves from this universal statement about man's sinfulness to a more personal aspect of sin. In the Hebrew, there's this possessive particle used, which depicts every man turning to his own way. He shows how sin belongs to each of us personally and individually. The total depravity of man is described as everyone has turned to his own way. This is the natural condition of man, the condition that man is born into. It shows man's utter selfishness. It shows how man lives for himself independently of God. Man will do what he wants to do. He rejects the ways of God. It is the natural inclination of man to be autonomous and to live without any reference to Christ. Everyone has turned to his own way. This describes the state of every individual born into the world. Everyone naturally seeks his own. Natural man follows the dictates of his corrupt mind and fulfills the desires of his corrupt will. Everyone naturally seeks to follow their own pleasures and to satisfy their own lusts and desires. The Apostle Paul describes this condition as having their conversations or their conduct and behavior in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Natural man lives to please himself. He will not have God rule over him, nor tell him what to do. Man will be his own master. He will do what he wants, and he will get what he wants, and no one is going to interfere with him. Man in his natural state does not, we're told in Romans, like to retain God in his knowledge. What a striking description Isaiah gives us of the depravity of man as he likens us to sheep that have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. It teaches us a universal depravity. The reign of sin is universal. All have turned aside and have become unprofitable. All have gone astray. All are sinners by nature. All are born in sin. All are dead in sin and trespasses. All are under the bondage of sin. And so by using this metaphor of sheep going astray, Isaiah asserts the sad condition of man. All have wandered from God, and all are alienated and destitute of God. They are like lost sheep without a shepherd, wandering to and fro without any guide, without anyone to protect them, scattered and going in their own direction. Now, lost sheep typically are incapable of returning to the fold by themselves. Sheep can wander and go astray by themselves, but they cannot return by themselves. The shepherd must find the lost sheep. The lost sheep must be sought and found by the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was Christ's mission, was it not? For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Natural man has no ability in and of himself to come to Christ. We cannot find Christ by ourselves. Our natural state, we're told, is enmity with God. We're spiritually blind. We will not come to Christ to have life, our Lord told us. We won't come to Him to have life. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as the shepherd, the good one, does seek out and save His sheep. You remember the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. What man of you, verse 4, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost and find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. Jesus will find that one sheep that is missing, that has been lost. He will seek and search and save that sheep that was lost. He is the bishop of our souls. He is the good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep. And we'll get into that in a later message. This is the true shepherd you must push your trust in. You must hear and follow the voice of the great shepherd. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Our Father, what a glorious depiction of our Savior, the Good Shepherd. How it comforts us that He loves us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He looks to our spiritual well-being. He watches for our spiritual danger. He carries us upon His shoulders. He brings us back to the fold. What a glorious depiction of a wonderful and merciful Savior. We give praise for Your Word. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.